I call it having the guts of Jesus, you know, ministry with guts. In fact, the church has been in a place where we've been receiving and receiving and receiving, and I love it. I love Renew, I love conferences. But most of the church is in a place right now where either they're spiritual skeptics, they're sitting back and saying, I don't believe in this stuff at all. Or the other side of that is they become spiritual spectators and they just want to watch this stuff. And I love all the stuff we're doing. I love the videos that we show and all those things. But be careful that you don't become a spiritual spectator. Because what happens if you just receive and receive and receive and receive and you never give, you become constipated. And the church has become spiritually constipated. That's where the church, most of the churches are like, But God's about to launch a movement. It's called compassion. A movement of compassion. When Jesus saw the sheep without shepherd, he was moved with compassion. And that's a spiritual impartation that God wants to give the church, because the church has been spiritually constipated. And he's going to release what's on the inside of you. And I believe in order to do that, you have to see like Jesus. He saw the sheep without, he saw people as sheep without a shepherd. And what's going to happen to you, what's going to start happening to you this week is you're going to start going to places you've been before, and you're going to see people that you've always been there, but you never saw them before. Like we drove into, yesterday we went to whatever that cool little town is real close to here. What town is this? Harbor something, right? Springs. Yeah, so we went to the little town, which is really awesome. Don't go there because it's been really good. Not many of you have been there. It's been fun because we don't bump into as many people. But we went there and didn't seem like there were that many people there yesterday that we had to kind of look and find and seek people out. But it's like when we drove in there today, like before we got to our parking spot, we drove right by a lady that had the oxygen. Or did you guys give that testimony at all or share with that? We passed by this lady. She had an oxygen tank on. So we're like, park right there. Let's stop. And we jumped out. And we went down and we saw Mary. She was sitting there with her oxygen. And we asked her, hey, how's it going? What's going on? We saw you have the oxygen on. She said, oh, yeah, it's just, it's a bad day. And it's really humid. And I asked her, you know, do you have COPD or whatever it was? I actually called it POC or whatever. I don't know what it is. She has a bunch of letters in it. She said, yeah, I have COPD. And it's a really bad day. It's humid. And this is the worst day for me. I'm like, awesome. Because, you know, if it's the worst day, if God heals her, then she knows she's really healed, right? So we prayed for her. The youth pastor that was with me, we prayed for her and asked her to breathe. And she's like, yeah, it really feels better. I said, well, can you do me a favor? Can you just take it off and let's just see? Because if it's really bad, let's just see. So she took it off because actually, it's better. I can breathe. Now, isn't that awesome? Before we even got to our parking spot, and I really felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, because you released eyes to see. So people are going to, you're going to see. You know, like that movie where the kid said, I see dead people. You're going to see sick people because they're there. They're sheep without shepherds, and you are called to be the shepherds. You get to go and pastor the city. And God's going to give you eyes to see them. I really believe that. You're going to see differently. You're going to be bold to respond and to react. And what we talked about this last session, I really believe unlocks something spiritually, because your conscience or your soul, it's not just your conscience, but your soul is made up of these three dimensions. It's your mind, it's your ability to think, to rationally, to intellectually think. It's your mind, it's your will, it's your ability to make choices. Your conscience is your will, it's your ability to make choices and decisions. And then it's your imagination. God has given you this incredible thing in your soul called your imagination. And sometimes we think, well, this is an evil thing. We've got to shut down our imaginations because we don't want to be thinking in our imaginations. No, you're not called to shut down your imagination. God gave it to you. He wants to redeem it back. And when your imagination becomes redeemed, you start to see things that you couldn't see before. Jesus said to his disciples. You know, remember the verse in Isaiah that we quoted earlier, Isaiah 6, and that was our ministry point, where Isaiah's lips were touched and he could see because his guilt was taken away. And God said, now I want you to go. Whom will go for us and whom shall I send? He said, here am I, send me. He said, now go and prophesy to these people who have eyes and can't see. Prophesy to these people who have ears and can't hear. Prophesy till these people's hearts become hardened. And Jesus fulfilled that scripture in Matthew 13 because his disciples came to him. And he launched them out into the marketplace when he got out into the boat. And he said, now blessed are your eyes because you're going to see things the prophets long to see. Blessed are your ears. You're going to hear things the prophets long to hear. Blessed is your heart because you're going to understand. So he took that same fire and touched them, but it was an ability to for them to their eyes to be open and their ears to be open. That's what a redeemed imagination does. It allows you to see what God sees. And prophecy, I used to teach the prophetic from the standpoint of the technical, like you do this, and then God does this, and you could see it, and I could teach you that way. But if I teach it to you, instead of teaching you the mind of Christ, if I teach you the heart of Christ, when you minister to the mind of Christ, you're going to minister from God's perspective. Because prophecy is not just saying what God says, it's actually seeing what God sees and feeling what God feels for people. And so it's not just having the mind of Christ, but it's having the heart of Christ. I like to say prophecy is seeing people through the blood of Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 real quick, and I'm going to maybe expound on this a little bit more on Friday night when I speak, but I want to just share something with you, and then I want to show you a little video clip and do a little bit of activation here, because I believe that there's a clarity in our hearts now and a clarity in our understanding that God wants to really open up something in the spiritual realm to show us some things. Well, we did this last week in Ashtabula. It was like after these sessions today that people really started to like see things real clear, get names and way people looked and places to go and things like that. So I believe we're going to see that. Hebrews chapter 12. This is really awesome right here. Let's start verse number 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Now, I'm just going to stop right there. I'm not going to expound too much on the rest of the verse, but here's what it says. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You know, the blood of Jesus actually prophesies to you. It actually speaks. And scientifically, technically, blood does speak, and I'm going to maybe expound on that later, but prophecy is being able to see things because through the blood of Jesus, because the Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, right? Right? So Jesus wasn't just crucified on the cross 2,000 years ago. That was where time was split. This is where before Christ, after Christ, right? This is where the Lamb, this is where Jesus died physically. He came from heaven to earth, and he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. But the Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. So the cross was just the manifestation on earth of what already was done in heaven. Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so he was an example of that. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, and that was manifested on earth on the cross. But it was already done from the beginning of time. Because heaven was the place of the great temple. It was the place of the high priest. And so the temple existed in heaven. And so when Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the world, what happened was we were born into sin. We were born in the flesh. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is flesh is flesh, that which is spirit. That which is born in the flesh is flesh. So the blood of Abel speaks the word of what I'm born into in the flesh, what I did, because Cain crucified Abel, right? Killed him. Abel was the first human blood that was spilled on the earth. And so everything that was done after that was seen through that blood. This is what you did, what you did, what you did. That's the way your life in the flesh is viewed. But when you come to Christ, because of what he did on earth on the cross, Jesus said, now that which is born of spirit is spirit. So God takes you back and you are born again through the blood from the foundation of the world. Because the Bible says you were in Christ from the foundation of the world. So that you've been born back through the blood, so that when God looks at you now, he doesn't look at you through the blood of Abel, but he looks at you through the blood of Jesus. That speaks a better word. And so he sees you through the blood. He sees what you are supposed to be, because what you've been living your life before Christ, you were born in the flesh. That which is flesh is flesh. And the blood of Abel speaks to you what you did, what you have done. It speaks to you as guilty. It speaks to you as that you need to have that there needs to be judgment against you, and you've lived in your life with this judgment against your life. You live in your life outside of the blood covenant, but when God says you're going to be born again, Nicodemus said, well, how can I go back to my mother's womb and be born again in the flesh? He said, oh no, I'm not taking you back to the womb. I'm taking you back to the beginning. Because you were in Christ from the foundation of the world. And I'm going to birth you through the blood now. And so now you have the blood covering you. And when you reach the point on earth again where the blood of Abel tries to speak against you, it can't, because the blood of Jesus spoke a better word. Why is it better? Because before the blood of Abel was able to cry out for vengeance against Cain, the blood of Jesus was shed before that happened. So before I ever sinned, Jesus' blood was already shed for me. So the blood trumps anything I've done. It trumps anything that's happened to me. I'm not the same person as I was. And so if I can see people that way, I'm not going to see them of the flesh, but I'm going to see them born of the Spirit the way they should look. And I'm going to see them the way God sees them. I'm going to speak what God says through the blood. So prophecy is actually seeing people from God's perspective as they should have been born from the beginning of time. And when I see them through the blood, I say what God says, I see what God sees, and they become what God intended them to be. His new name is the King's Son. Isn't that awesome? That's his new hip-hop name. And so that's just an example of when we see people through the blood of Jesus, we don't see what they've done, but we've seen what Jesus has done, right? And what God intends for them really to be. When the blood of Jesus speaks a better word, that's what prophecy really is. Let me show you this. Turn to John chapter 1. It's really simple. Now I'm going to give you something. You might look at that and say, that sounds really complicated, but it's really not, and I'm going to break it down for you a little bit, and I'm going to show you something very simple, how Jesus saw people. And when he looked at them, how he was able to prophetically see them. Because, you see, this lifestyle of hearing God's voice, it's not just, well, I need to get a word of knowledge for that person, or God, tell me something about this person. It's a lifestyle of relationship with God. And when you talk to God, he just tells you stuff. I mean, he just tells yourself about all kinds of stuff. And I ask him questions all the time. I ask God all the questions. Like, one of the ways that I keep just sharp in hearing God's voice is just by living my life asking God's questions. I spend a lot of time in airports every week. So I spend a lot of time in and out of airports, and I spend a lot of time. And one of the things I do is when I come to the luggage place where you collect your luggage, your baggage claim, I sit there and I watch luggage while I'm waiting for my luggage. I say, okay, God, show me whose luggage belongs to who. And I just match people up with their luggage. Why? Why does God care about that? Because I care about it. And it's fun. You see, I think that God wants us to have a relationship with him that's fun. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's fun. And God knows, I just have fun in my relationship with God. Because God just wants to speak to us about stuff. And when you look at Jesus, Jesus didn't get like all intense about people, even when they didn't believe in him, and skeptics. In John chapter 1, we see a great passage of how Jesus sees someone through the blood of Jesus. He sees them in a way that God sees them. In verse number 43, Jesus is calling his disciples to him. And it says, that next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him, he said, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that, he added. I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now here's a whole prophetic encounter where Jesus is seeing what God sees from God's perspective. He's not seeing from the natural perspective, because if he's seeing from the natural perspective, he's going to look at Nathanael and he's going to say, this guy is not a believer, right? Because Nathanael, he's not a believer in Jesus, but he's a complete skeptic. He's a complete cynic. And if Jesus was looking at him in the natural, he would look at him and say, man, you're a cynical person. How could you say nothing good can come from Nazareth, right? But he's not looking at him through that perspective. Now listen, I told you and I showed you how the blood of Jesus was shed from the foundation of the world before this earthly sin came, before the blood of Abel began to speak against our life, before what we did became judgment against us. While we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and died for us. So before we ever became under judgment, under the blood of Abel, from the beginning of time, the blood of the Lamb was slain, and we passed through that blood. And now God sees us through that blood. And this is what prophecy is. It's seen from God's perspective, so that Colossians chapter 3 says this. Therefore, since you have been raised with Christ, talking about you and you were saved. You weren't just saved from your sin, but you were positionally raised with Christ. So we weren't saved so that we could get to heaven. Our salvation actually brought us to heaven. I'm not waiting to get to heaven. I'll just tell you that right now. I'm in heaven. Well, that's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. So I'm not waiting to get to heaven. When I was born again, he took me to heaven, birthed me through the blood. I'm born again now. And then he said, I have a new place for you to sit at the right hand. Well, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So I can see from God's perspective. Because God sees our life all at one time. He exists outside of time. And so we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, birthed through the blood, to do good works on the earth that he prepared in advance for us to do. So when God looks at us from his perspective, he can see us through the blood of Jesus, and then he sees the works that we've been prepared to do. And so when we look from his perspective, the prophetic is really rising up with Christ. It's setting our hearts, setting our imagination, setting our mind on things above, seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now I can see your life at any time in history. So the prophetic is actually time travel. It is. I believe from a quantum physics standpoint, it's actually stepping outside of time and traveling through time. And so now I can enter into your life at different points in time because I'm seated with Christ. I know I'm flipping some of you out, but I'm talking to your spirits now. So some of your spirits are going to get it because they can understand this. Your mind can't understand it because the natural man is the enemy to the spiritual man. So our natural mind, actually, God's given it to us, but it becomes at enmity. That's what the Bible says. That's why you have to set this thing on things above. Set it there. Because you're seated with Christ. Now I can see through his perspective. So Jesus enters into Nathanael's life. Let's look at Nathanael. Has not been birthed through the blood yet, right? He's born of the flesh. He's a cynic. He's a skeptic. He's walking through life. Philip approaches him and says, hey, we just found the Messiah, the one the prophets told him about. He's like, ah, I don't believe that. Where's he from? Nazareth. Well, that proves it. Nothing good could come from Nazareth, right? Skeptic, cynic, critic. Jesus enters into his life, but he doesn't come from this standpoint. He enters through the blood of Jesus. He sets from God's perspective. He sees him through the blood. And he says, Nathanael, here's an Israelite in whom there's nothing false. Here's a kind of person who loves the truth, which is what he really was like. But his personality was perverted because he hadn't come through the blood, but Jesus was still seeing him. And so instead of saying, here's a skeptic, here's a cynic, he said, Nathanael, you're the kind of person who just loves the truth. You tell it like it is. And he redeemed what could have been a negative quality. He flipped it through the blood because it became something good. Just like hip-hop was something negative, God took it through the blood and he made it into something beautiful before him. So your greatest weakness becomes your greatest strength when you see it through the blood, because God redeems it. Come on. Your spirit's getting this. Your mind's going, huh? I'm saying you got to see people this way. Because otherwise you're going to look at your husband and say, he's just this, he's just that. You see him through the blood. You see your father, well, he did this to me, he did that. But what if you saw him through the blood? You're not a victim anymore, right? Because if your father would have known who he was through the blood, he never would have done that to you. So you see, he sees Nathanael through the blood. He doesn't say, why don't you believe? Why are you skeptical? He said, you're the kind of person who tells it like it is. Nathanael's a little bit flipped out by this. And he said, how do you know me? So Jesus enters back into his life. He time travels back a little farther. He said, because I saw you back here. You were sitting under the fig tree. Nathanael's like, "Ah, you must be the Christ. You must be the King of Israel." What happened? A light bulb went on. Not because Jesus said, "You must believe because I'm the Son of God," but because Jesus showed him how God really saw him through the blood of Jesus. He began to see through the perspective that God had, and he began to see Jesus for who he was. And it doesn't even look like a powerful prophetic word. Just look at this. Now let's look at it from an earthly perspective again. Here's a true Israelite in whom there's nothing false. Nathanael, you're the kind of person who just tells it like it is. You say, "Well, that's not a very big word." But Nathanael knew himself. And in fact, what happened was this word actually produced conviction on the inside of Nathanael. Because it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. Did you know when you release the kingdom of God in people in love, it actually convicts them of their sin? It's true. Is Todd back there? I was going to ask him if I could share this story, so I'm going to share this story. It's a simple story. It's actually a story when Todd and I were together. We were in a hotel. I don't remember what city it was we were in, but there was a housekeeper, and we were walking by, and he had a word of knowledge for her ankle. And so he said, "Do you have a problem with your ankle?" And she did, and he prayed, and she was touched, and she was healed, and she was thankful. And then he said, "I heard the word mother-in-law in my heart," and immediately her countenance changed. She got angry, and she said, "I hate my mother-in-law, and I have a bad deal with my mother-in-law." And what we would say is, "Well, how could she be healed unless she forgave her mother-in-law?" But actually, God used the healing to reveal her heart so he could heal what was really the issue inside of her, because he loved her. And so it was the kindness of God that led her to a place where now she's confronted with this thing, and then he was able to lead her into a wonderful forgiveness and healing encounter for her mother-in-law. It was the kindness of God that brought conviction of sin. You'll find that a lot of times that people will become convicted. You want to pray for them, they're like, "Well, I need to put out my cigarette first." And you will. It's not that we're trying to be legalistic with anybody, but it's something about the conviction of the Holy Spirit in there that works on people's hearts. And so when I'm releasing the kingdom, when I'm speaking life over somebody, this is what happens, is they start to become convicted. And if Jesus said, "Nathanael, you're the kind of person who tells it like it is. You have truth in you." And Nathanael kind of becomes convicted, like, how do you know? Were you listening to me? Are you a psychic? And so Jesus says, "Listen, I know what's happened in the past." He's a word of knowledge, right? So his encounter with seeing Nathanael through the blood of Jesus reveals the clarity in his heart to what Nathanael's been through. He said, "I saw you sitting under the fig tree." And Nathanael's response, I think, is pretty incredible, because he says this, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So he comes to an understanding of who Jesus is without Jesus even presenting the gospel to him. I mean, Philip had spoken to him, but he didn't believe what Philip said. But when the kingdom was released to him, now his eyes were open. He said, "Oh my goodness, you're the King of Israel. You're the Son of God." He gets saved from this word of knowledge. You were just sitting like under a fig tree or something like that? I mean, it sounds like a pretty specific word of knowledge, but just think about this. In Israel, there wasn't really all that much to do. So if you're relaxing, you're either under a fig tree or olive tree. So Jesus probably had like a 50-50 shot. You were under a fig tree, olive tree? So, I mean, it's a cool word of knowledge, but what's more powerful to me is actually what it releases inside of Nathanael, because the response seems to me not reciprocal to what the word is, because the kingdom of God is always a seed, but it produces something much greater. So when you release a seed into someone's life, you might think, "Well, I'm not really giving them much of anything." Just like this morning when I said to the girl, God could take an accident and turn it into something good. What was that? That was a seed of the kingdom. But it released something greater. So what you're releasing is seeds, and it's going to produce great fruit. And it produces this fruit in Nathanael, and he says this, "You're the Son of God, you're the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, but you shall see greater things than that." And then he travels again. So now he's entered into the present in Nathanael's life. He's seen him through the blood of Jesus. Nathanael, this is the kind of person God created you to be. How do you know me? He travels back in time. "Because I saw you where you're sitting under. You must be the Son. You must be the King of Israel. You must be the Son of God." "Oh, you think that's great? I got something else to show you. Because eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has in store for those who love him. But you're going to see things greater than that, because when you get to this point, you're going to see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So we have this great privilege of seeing people from God's perspective, which takes us outside of time, and we get to travel through at different points of their life and see how God's going to intersect with them and what God's going to do. Now, that sounds like a complicated explanation for the prophetic, but I believe that's exactly what's happening. But you get to participate with God in this, and it's actually simple. Because of Colossians chapter 3. I want you to look at it with me. I've quoted it twice already, but I want you to see it. Because you're not waiting to get to heaven. Heaven is in you, and you're already seated with Christ, and you can see from His perspective. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul's writing to what I believe is the redemption of the human soul. The redemption of the human imagination, the redemption of the human intellect, the redemption of the human thinking capacity. Since then, verse number 1, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts, that word means imagination, on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your mind, that word means your intellect, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sensual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways of life where you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. What is he saying? You see, normally what we say is, stop sinning and then God will talk to you. Stop doing bad stuff and God will use you. But actually what Paul is saying is, since you've been raised with Christ and you've been seated with Him in heavenly places, set your mind, set your imagination on things above. Because the things that are going to keep you from hearing God are the things of the earth, are the earthly things. So you need to put these things to death, because they're going to stop you from having the mind of Christ. You're going to need to put these things to death, because they're going to stop you, because they're going to impede and block your imagination. They're going to get into your mind and they're going to lodge in there. Because your soul is the place, your imagination and your mind is the place through which God speaks. He doesn't bypass your mind, He redeems your mind. And so I have to set my mind on things above, and I have to put to death those natural things. And those natural things might be sin, but those natural things just might be things of this earth. Because He says, things of this earth. So it's easy for me, if I get something in my soul, if God's trying to speak to me, it's going to filter through my soul. So I found out many years ago, there's certain things I can't do when I'm in an active ministry mode. There's some things I never, ever do, but there's some things I just don't do. Like, I like to watch World War II movies. I like to. I love shoot 'em up movies. I love to watch the History Channel. They have this show called Dogfights. They have computer animated simulations of airplane fights from World War II. And I used to go into my hotel room at night and just watch them, you know, because you're wired after a service and you're watching them, you know, dive. And it's awesome because, you know, it's just entertainment or whatever. It's just wallpaper. Until the next day, and I have to go to a meeting and I have to prophesy to someone, and I say, and you're in a battle, and the devil's after you. You have to dive. What happened is it filtered through my soul. That's why we talked about in the first session that He's cleansed you. His blood has sprinkled you from a guilty conscience. Because if I prophesy to someone through my conscience that hasn't been cleansed, then I'm going to see them through my guilty conscience and not the way God sees them. And so then I'm going to see their sin because I'm so conscious of mine. But if I know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and He looks at me just as if I've never sinned, because I've come through the blood, and the blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, then I can see you through the blood of Jesus and not what you've done. And I can tell you the way God sees you, and I don't speak to you what you've done, but what you're going to do. And I'm going to see you, I'm going to say to you, a cynic, and I'm going to say, and God sees you as a person who tells it like it is. I was Several years ago, I was invited, God opened up some doors for us to go into the New Age community, and I was telling the story about that. I was at a pastor's conference, and I'd spoken about 5 times 1 year in a New Age church, and it kept inviting us back because people were healed. In fact, one time they invited New Age healers from around the area. They advertised it in the newspapers, and they had New Age healers that came, and Jesus showed up and healed people. 25 people gave their life to Christ in the New Age church. That happened for real. So I was telling that story at a pastor's conference. It was actually in another country, but there was a pastor there from Idaho. And he talked to me afterwards. He said, man, that story was awesome. And he said, we have a lot of New Age community in our area. In fact, we had the Dalai Lama came to our city last year. They had 10,000 people that gathered, and they put a Buddhist prayer wheel in our city gate. And every year they have a huge conference, and they have psychics and mediums. 10,000 people gather, and it just creates a dark atmosphere in our city. Would you be willing to come to our church in May? That's when they have it, the same week. And if we have a conference in our church while they have that going on, it'll just help to like lift the atmosphere, you know, kind of balance it out. And Jesus didn't say, I come to balance out the world. He said, kingdom of God advances forcefully and the violent take it by force. And before I knew what I was saying, the words came out of my mouth. And I said, well, why? Instead of us having our party over here and the devil having his party over there, why don't we just crash the devil's party? And he said, well, can you do that? I said, I have no idea, but I could try. So I found out the website and the director of the conference, and I emailed her, and I said, I would like to come and be part of your conference. I notice you have psychics and healers and things like that. I'd love to come and be one of your practitioners. And she wrote back to me, and she said, well, what do you practice? And I really wasn't sure what to say, so I just told her I practice an ancient Hebrew form of healing. It's true. It's the truth. Same way Jesus did, and here's the results that we've seen. She wrote back to me 5 minutes later. This all happened within a 10-minute period of time after he said, can you do this? I'm like, I don't know. 10 minutes later, she writes back, please come. We really need you. Like, yeah, more than you know. So we came there, and we brought a team there, and we set up what we called it the Sozo Cafe. We set up like an Italian bistro. We had communion on the table, you know, wine and bread, and had a menu. People could come in and receive wine of the spirit readings and bread of life healing. And we learned a lot in those times. But one of the things that we learned is we started to see people the way Jesus saw them. And not as our enemy, because they weren't our enemies. Actually, they were our friends. They just didn't know it. Witches are my friends. They just don't know it. I'm not afraid of them. I love them. They're not my enemy. I don't want to see them brought down. I want to see them see themselves through the blood of Jesus the way they were created to be. See, when I do that, I won't fight battles that I'm not supposed to fight. I won't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not my battle. It's not my battle. The people out there aren't your enemies. They're your friends. They just don't know it. You walk past the store today. Was it Blair? Is that your name, Blair? What is it? Rob Blair, right? So we walked past the store. I was with Rob, and he said, oh, that's my last name. It was Elizabeth Blair store. He said, that's my last name. And I was with my daughter in that same city. Her name was Abby, and the store's name was Abby. So I thought, well, maybe God's still doing the name thing. It's like this new shopping evangelism I have or something. I don't know. I always have to be girl stores that we're going. So I'm like, well, what do you think, Blair? I mean, it looks like a girl's store, but we can act like we're there for our wives or something, you know? Maybe we didn't look, there was nobody in there. It was all jewelry, like pearls and jewelry. Beautiful store, couldn't really afford anything in there. So I'm glad my wife wasn't with me. So we walked in, there's nobody there. We're kind of waiting around, and a lady comes out of the back, and she said, can I help you? And I said, well, this is just going to sound weird, but the only reason we came in here is because my friend saw the name was the same name as his name. She goes, your name's Elizabeth Blair? He said, no. He said, just my last name. And I said, but, you know, this might sound strange, but we're here, and we're at a conference, and we're praying for people to be healed, and we thought maybe we're supposed to come in this store because there's somebody who needs healing. Is there anybody here that needs healing? She goes, no. Kind of like steps back, you know. I'm like, so you're telling me there's no pain in your body at all right at this moment? She's like, well, yeah. She said, my shoulder really bad, but that's okay, I'm all right. I said, well, is it okay if we pray for you? And she kind of stepped back again, so I knew she really didn't want us to, you know, touch her, which is fine, because we didn't need to. because it's not our hands that do it. It's the name of Jesus. And so we prayed in Jesus' name, and she was healed. She was absolutely healed, which was really awesome, which was really cool. But to me, what was even cooler was I just said, well, I think we just came in here because Jesus wants you to know he loves you. She goes, yeah, someone gave me a little card. I carry in my wallet. It says, Jesus loves you. And I look at it every day. I said, see now, God just sent a visual reminder of that. And so we had the great privilege of seeing her through the blood of Jesus. When you start to see people through the blood of Jesus, you realize they're not my enemies. Nathanael was not Jesus' enemy, although he could have positioned himself that way, couldn't he? Because if you would have seen him from the natural standpoint, he would have said, man, you're just a cynic. You're just a skeptic. So we're at this conference, and we're invited back. And in fact, we were invited back not just to have a team there, but we were invited back to be a speaker. So I actually have been a speaker at a New Age conference. It's not something you'll see on my website. Marianne Williamson was speaking downstairs. I was in a smaller room. She had about 2,000 people. I had about 200. But there was a lady standing in the back. I was just talking about the power of a life purpose, how God created everybody with a purpose. Said we're followers of Jesus. We believe Jesus is who he said he is, that he's the Son of God. He came from the Father. He died. He went back to the Father alive. That God created everybody with a purpose. Primary purpose in your life is to be in relationship with God through Jesus. And secondarily, he gave you a purpose to touch other people. And I started talking about the power of a life purpose. There was a woman standing all the way in the back and standing against the back wall. It's kind of a standing room only crowd. We didn't have any more seats left. She's standing there, and she just was not down with what I was saying, especially any time I mentioned Jesus. She just, it didn't go good with her. So I was getting ready to the end where I was going to give what I call people life purpose words. I was just going to ask God to show me some things about their life that would help them walk and fulfill the purpose that God's given them. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to speak to that lady in the back first. And I'm like, God, anybody but her, because she really didn't like me. And I felt like she was like manifesting, but not in the spirit that we would want people to manifest kind of thing. And so the Lord said, no, she's first. Because if you can reach her. See, there's a lot of ways people say you got to get unbelief out of the room in order for God to move. I don't believe that's true. I think what you need to do is take unbelief, turn it into belief, and then the whole room believes. And so I spoke to her and I said, ma'am, I see you standing in the back there. And she looked back like there was somebody behind her, but she was against the wall, so she couldn't go anywhere. She was stuck. At this point, we're there, and it's a confrontation, although it's not confrontational because she's not my enemy. And I said, ma'am, I see a crown over your head. I see children all around you. I see dollar signs surrounding you. And I said, she made this kind of face like, but I didn't look at her face because it wasn't her face I was looking at. I was seeing her through the blood of Jesus. God's given you a love for children, and he's given you an authority to help children that are hurting. And I see you in the inner city, and I see you ministering in an inner city area, or I see you helping children in an inner city area, and I see you working with social service agencies that raise funds for children in the inner city. And God's going to give you great ability and great authority to raise money. In fact, I see hundreds of thousands of dollars of state grants that you've written over the last 6 months, and you've been waiting for them to come back. These next 6 months, God's going to bring those hundreds of thousands of dollars of grants into you. Yeah, wow. Because, you know, when you're talking like that, you're just kind of hearing God and you're talking, and then you pause and you're like, oh my goodness, that was really specific. And you have this moment where your natural mind starts to fight you because your natural mind is an enemy to your spiritual mind. So you have to shut it off. But as soon as you allow it to come back on, it tries to fight you again. But that's okay because Jesus said, you sow the word, and the word is the word of God. And every time that you sow it, there's persecution and affliction that rises up for the sake of the word. And most of that persecution and affliction doesn't come from the outside. It comes from right here. Your mind will fight you and say, well, that can't be that right. That can't be the right word of knowledge. That can't be that what that person needs healing for. That's crazy. That's too specific. That can't be God. People have actually said that to me. That's too specific. That can't be God. Like Jesus is only general. So she looks at me and she goes, can I say something? Now, we've got 200 people in the room, 95% of them unbelievers. The only believers there are about 10 people that are stationed around just to pray and stuff. She said, can I say something right now? And she pointed at me. And for a moment, my mind said, that's it. The jig's up. She's going to expose you. You're a fraud. Now you're never coming back here again. She said, that's exactly what I do. I work for a social service agency in Philadelphia. I raise money for underprivileged kids, and I've got hundreds of thousands of dollars of grants. Outstanding. Hands went up. Me next! For 3 hours, we were able to minister to unbelievers and let them see themselves the way that God saw them. Buddhists and Hindus, doctors and teachers, homeless people, hungry people, sick people, and let them see themselves through the blood of Jesus. You know what I found out later? One of the guys who was next to us in that meeting, in that our group had a table, a booth set up, and next to us, there was a shaman, a man. Shaman is just a happy name for a witch doctor. And he was doing divination. He was a bone reader. You know what bone reading is? It's not like a chiropractor. He said it's the most ancient form of divination. So he would roll bones and then he would tell you your future. Well, this lady was his wife. And she came to us and she actually gave us an interview on video and she said, would you be willing to go and talk to my husband and tell him what you see in him too? Oh, I would be so happy. Because God doesn't see him as a shaman, right? He sees him as a son. He sees him as a son. You see, these people, aren't your enemies. They're not your enemies. Those people out there aren't your enemies. You got to see them through the blood of Jesus. And when you see them the way that God sees them, then he'll show you what they've been through and what's going to happen. And it all started with something very simple. Nathaniel, you're the kind of person who speaks the truth. You're the kind of person who tells it like it is. It all started, it doesn't even sound profound, does it? Because it's not coming from the mind, it's coming from the heart. It's seeing people the way that God sees them. And you were created to do this. This is what you were created to do. To see what God formed people to be from the beginning of time because they were in him from the foundation of the world. So now, we're gonna do this together. Are you ready? All right, everybody stand to your feet. Put down your books. I want you to do this. As soon as your natural mind starts to fight you, I just want you to yield to what you feel God is saying. And some people will say, well, I feel like I'm making this up. If you ask God for bread, he will not give you a stone. If you ask God for meat, he won't give you a snake. So we're going to ask God in this room, God's going to show you somebody the way that God sees them. And you're going to speak a word of encouragement. You're not going to prophesy to them. You're going to tell them something that's going to bring a smile to their face. Because prophecy is for encouragement, for comfort, for edification. Are you scared? Some of you are. You see, I know there's a big mixture. I know there's a lot of people like, oh, let's go. I want to go all the way high. Then there's some people who are like, I never heard God speak. You have. You just don't know it. You wouldn't be here if you didn't hear God speak. You had to hear him to come into relationship with him. You had to hear him. Okay, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to give you step-by-step instructions, and you're going to listen to me step-by-step. I'm going to tell you one piece at a time. Okay, first thing I want you to do is I want you to move around this room, and I want you to find somebody that you didn't come with, someone that you don't know very well. And just introduce you. Everybody needs to have a partner for this exercise, okay? All right, do it. Move around. Find someone you didn't come with, someone you don't know very well. If you do not have a partner, please raise your hand and keep it raised. If you do not have a partner, raise your hand high over your head and keep it raised, and find somebody else that has their hand raised, okay? If you do not have a partner, keep your hand up until you find somebody else with their hand up, and then you may put it down. Okay? I need you to keep your hand up all the way, ma'am. In the black shirt, turn around. There's a guy with an orange shirt right behind you. There, perfect. Look, you got people all in this row looking around. So find people that you don't know very well, okay? Okay, ma'am, stay right here. I'm in the blue. Stay here. Who else needs a partner still? Bonnie, come up with this nice lady here, okay? Okay, perfect. Do you guys know each other pretty well? Okay, good. Just a little. Okay, good. Who still needs a partner? Raise your hand. She still needs a partner. Who else? Ma'am, go ahead. Partner with her. Who does not have a partner? Please raise your hand. Everybody has a partner? Okay, you. Okay. Who else needs a partner? Raise your hand. Anybody else? I know there's at least one person. Okay, good. Just you need one, sir? Oh, I understand that. I'm just waiting. Are you still waiting for somebody? Okay. Chris, are you with anybody, buddy? Can you do this with us? Sweet. Okay, Chris is going to be your partner, all right? All right. All right, here's what you're going to do. You are not going to prophesy. Say this, I am not going to prophesy. Nobody's going to Africa. Nobody's going to have a baby. Nobody's getting married, okay? This is just seeing people. It's an exercise to see people through the heart of God, right? An exercise to see people through the blood. Well, the blood speaks a better word. Okay, Jesus looked at Nathanael and he said, you're the kind of person who tells it like it is, okay? You're the kind of person who speaks the truth. So he was seeing himself, he was seeing Nathanael the way that God saw him instead of as a cynic, as a skeptic. So you're going to see them the way that God sees them. So when you speak to your partner, you're going to use these words, this phrase, you're the kind of person that, okay? Very simple. You're going to start with those words, and then whatever comes to your heart after that, two or three sentences, you're going to say it. Okay? So let's practice that, okay? You're the kind of person that... It sounds like Mr. Rogers, right? I know. Because you have to come into the kingdom of God as a child, okay? Get over it. It's easy and it's fun, okay? So you're the kind of person that... Now, okay. Now, what we have to do is we have to decide who's going to be the person who gives the encouraging word first. So... one of you has to be Jesus, and one of you has to be Nathanael. So who's feeling more like Jesus? Raise your hand. Do I have to talk more about identity? Okay, here's what we're going to do. I don't know if this is historically accurate or not, but every picture I've seen of Jesus, he has really long hair. So everybody, look at your partner, see who has the longest hair. You're going to be Jesus. Okay, or anybody, if you have any hair in some cases. I mean, I understand. All right. So all the people who are Jesus, raise your hand. Okay, you are now Jesus, all right? All right. I know that at this point, this is where people are like, oh, this, we shouldn't be laughing so much. This is spiritual. Don't we need to focus? Shouldn't we speak in tongues for 30 minutes? No. You don't have to speak in tongues for 30 minutes. You can hear God just like this. In fact, Jesus taught the spiritual gifts with a lot of fun, with a lot of humor. When Jesus was teaching deliverance ministry, he did it with joy. That's what the Bible says. And I know deliverance people, they're just the most intense people in the world. They're like, come out in Jesus' name. I mean, it's like if you spit in deliverance ministry, it's so anointed. Especially the little white flecks, they're really anointed. Demons hate those. But the Bible says that the disciples came back and they said, man, even the demons submitted us in your name. And the Bible says, Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit and joy, said, I saw Satan fall. He knocked his head on the ground, went boom. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He laughed about it. Why? Because he wasn't intense about it. He knew it was already finished. He saw it from a different perspective, right? And he had a lot of fun. I mean, he was the kind of guy you'd invite to your party and he'd bring wine. If he ran out, he'd make some more. I'm not trying to offend your theology. I'm just saying it's in the Bible. I don't know why he did that as his first miracle. But it said, this is a revelation of my glory. I turned water into wine. And thus many people put their faith in Jesus because of it. Because Jesus was a fun guy to hang around. He wasn't just an awesome, powerful guy. He was the kind of guy you'd want to go out to dinner with. A lot of sinners had him over for dinner. How many sinners have invited you for dinner? There'll be more after this school, I'm sure. And you'll know what to do now. You're the kind of person that... Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to pray. You don't need me to pray to hear God, but it just gives you a chance to, you know, get more tense. All you're going to do is you're going to look at your partner. Those of you who are Jesus, they're going to be Nathanael to you. You're going to say, you're the kind of person that... And then whatever comes to your heart, don't think about it. Don't try to... Just whatever comes to your heart, say two or three sentences... And then say, and then ask God, just pray and ask God to use that characteristic in their life. Okay? You ready? Father, thank you that we are your sheep and we hear your voice. Thank you that you're allowing us to see our partner the way you see them. Through your blood, God, you created them in Christ Jesus to do good works. Show us how you created them, how you feel about them, what you want for them to do. In Jesus' name, go ahead. You're the kind of person that... Two or three sentences, and then just pray that God would use that characteristic in their life. Okay, just pray that God would use that characteristic in their life. Pray that God would use that thing that He's, the way He's created them, the way He's wired them. Okay, when you're finished, you can just stay where you are, but look this way. Okay, so I know you're done. And stop talking. So whenever you're finished, go ahead, finish up. Okay, a couple people are still finishing. Well, it looks like you did good because I see smiles. That's good. Nobody got punched. That's also a good sign. All right, how did that work out for you? Was it hard? Was it difficult? Did you break a sweat? You know what some people say? Well, this is too easy. It can't be God. It's a free gift, right? Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to switch roles now. So if you didn't like the word you got, you can get, it's like prophetic revenge. All right? Just kidding. Please don't do that. All right. Now, those of you who are Jesus are now going to be Nathaniel. Those of you who are follically challenged, those of you who are Nathaniel are going to be Jesus. Okay? All right. All the new Jesuses, please raise your hand. That means your hair was a little bit shorter. Okay, cool. All right, you are now Jesus. And so now you're going to look at your Nathaniel and you're going to say, you're the kind of person that, okay? Now this time, I'm going to say a special prayer, okay? It's going to end with a two-letter word. As soon as I say that two-letter word, that means you're going to say, you're the kind of person that, and you're going to give it to him. Ready? One, two, three, go. Okay. Okay, as soon as you say what comes to your heart, pray that God would use that characteristic in their life. Pray that God would use that personality He gave them, that character trait. All right, as soon as you're finished with that, you can go ahead and take your seat. That way I'll know you're done. Give a hug, high five, whatever you want to do. All right. Well, it's good. I see smiles. I see laughs, laughter. I see tears. It's good. You're encouraged. Give yourselves a good hand. You can take your seats. Okay. Okay. Sweet. Okay. How many people here have never prophesied to someone before? Raise your hand really high. Never ever prophesied to someone before. Okay, about 10% of you. Well, you just did. Now, what is prophecy? It's hearing something from God that brings encouragement and comfort. Well, how do I know that was from God? How do you know what you just heard is from God? Because the Bible says, if you are my sheep, you will hear my voice. Right? And you will not follow the voice of a stranger. So if you ask to hear God's voice, you won't follow the voice of a stranger. So it's not a stranger's voice. If you ask God for bread, he will not give you a stone. So if you've asked him for something to encourage your partner, then he's not going to give you something that's going to hurt them, right? So that's something very, very, very simple. But let's get a little feedback to encourage you. So I need two or three people, raise your hand, that you're willing to come in and share what your partner said to you. Okay, sir, you in the back with the black shirt on. Good, you next to her, and you, why don't you come up too? Okay, that's three of you. You're going to come up. She's going to tell us what your name is, and you're going to share what it is your partner said to you and what it meant to you, okay? So what they said to you. Tell us what your name is and what your partner said to you and what it meant to you, all right?
My name is Mark, and my partner was Ron, and he said that I was an adventurous person and that I needed to do something that was adventurous for the Lord. Is that right? Yeah.
That's awesome. Are you an adventurous person?
I am.
You are, huh? That's funny because I saw when you walked up here, I saw a picture of you and you were like on a motorcycle. And I feel like that God has given you like, sometimes you feel like the path that you have in life, it's like small. But a motorcycle is great because it actually gets you places a lot quicker. Because you like to get places quicker. The other thing is I saw you with is these tools in your hand, and it was like you're working on an engine. And I feel like that God's going to use you to help people get tuned up in life, to tune up their engines. That a vehicle is a symbol of things that people use to get on their journey to their destiny. And a lot of times people that are mechanics, they help people get back on the road in the natural. And I feel like you're a spiritual mechanic. You're going to help people get back on the road. You're going to help people get back on the road.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was kind of my thing that I told Ron that came to me from the Lord, that he was a person that really liked to help people.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's me.
Yeah. Well, what I see is I see people, God using you with people that have been through like addictive type situations, chemical addictions. And I see you helping, bringing them out of places. Even guys that were incarcerated and that come out, you're going to help get them back into society. There's even times where God's going to use you to get people reintegrated back into society, but not just take them through a 12-step program. God's going to give you a one-step program. Hey, that's my job. Don't take my job.
I love Jesus.
Yeah, it's a one-step program. It's called Be Free. Be free. Yeah. And one of the things is that I feel like that, like, even within the body of Christ, you've almost felt like an outcast. Like, oh, I don't really fit. Where do I fit? And God wants you to know he's made you like, you're not an outcast, but you're a die-cast. And a die-cast metal is something that's been cast in a form, but you've been cast in this form that's actually movable, where you can fit in different places. There's an evangelistic gift on your life. That's why you sometimes felt more comfortable outside of the church than in the church, because you're called to bring people that are outside of the church into the church. And you're going to be used to rescue them and bring them into the church.
That's the second time that I've had somebody prophesy that on me.
Yeah. And the other thing is that there's an artistic and creative side of you that a lot of people have tried to squash. Almost like that's too frilly, or it's that artistic side of you isn't manly enough or something for them. But God wants you to know he created you with artistry. He created you. And I see almost like doing like, what do you call those airbrush, you know, kind of things. I see you just like being a person that can see people the way that God sees them, and you can paint them like a spiritual graffiti artist or a spiritual airbrush artist, that you're going to help people see themselves the way that God sees them, even through art. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to encourage you to go after that artistic side to you. And I also feel like there's even been some frustration with you with employment and job situations, and it's just like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I feel like God said, you've already got it in your hands, what I called you to do. God's going to give you some creative, you don't need the microphone, that's fine. God's going to give you some creative ideas with your creativity. But I see like spiritual, like t-shirts and things like that, creative t-shirts and creative products that are going to be able to be marketed to the body of Christ, but also to other people. That's going to be creative. That's going to be, even like that shirt's kind of like a creative kind of t-shirt, that you're going to have messages on them that are going to bring the message, and it's going to be an evangelistic tool that are going to bring people into the kingdom. So I just want to bless you with that. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, dude. You're awesome. He's a good man. All right, tell us what your name is.
I'm Courtney, and my partner told me that I was a tile collector, a jewel collector, and that I walked around and I found jewels and tiles, and I put them in neat places and made a mosaic and pulled the best out of people. That I found people that normally you wouldn't think there was good in, and I pulled the best out of them. And that's kind of been the story of my life. As I find, you know, I have people that, what do you waste your time on them for? And I can't, I just see good in the people. Sometimes I think it's a liability because it hurts a lot of times, but it's just what I do.
So that made a lot of sense to you, right?
Yeah.
Who was your partner?
I cannot remember her name.
Was it you? Lori? That's an awesome. And now God's helping you to see the good in you too, right? Yeah, because now you'll see more good in people.
The other thing is, God wanted me to know that you're a kind of person, you like to finish things. And sometimes you've had things in life that you've started, but you haven't been able to finish them. Some things in your life with preparation, education, things like that you started, you haven't been able to finish because things came into your life that decisions you made or things that happened to you created burdens in your life and barriers for you to complete what God wanted you to complete. And sometimes you feel like, man, I wasted, I missed this part of my childhood or I missed this time of my young adulthood. But God wants you to know, actually, you're going to see even those things that are burdens, they're blessings. And I saw you with a child in your arms, like a mother would look at a child, and I saw you seeing it not as a burden, but as a blessing. You have four kids. But I feel like that what God's going to do is he's going to bring you to a place where you can finish some of those things that you weren't able to finish in the past. God's going to allow you to finish some things in education you wanted to do, and even go on to higher education that you wanted to do, you thought you would never do. And the enemy's just really pummeled you in your mind, even told you you're not smart, and and the Lord's like, you're dumb, you're not smart. That's a lie, because you're the mind of Christ. You're a smart girl, and God's going to give you a chance to finish some things in education you haven't been able to finish. Also, right now you're in a season of time where you have to rely on some other people for help in your life, and you feel a little bit like, why do I have to be helped all the time? But you know what one of the names of God is? He's a helper. God says, I'm a very present help in your time of need. And so God's put people in your life to be a help to you in your time of need. And I see you and some people just opening up their home for you and saying, just whatever you need, we're going to help you. We're going to do things for you. And don't be ashamed of that, because there's going to come a time where you're going to be able to help others. Because I see God using you to rescue people out of places where they've been, especially God has delivered you from like a spirit of death over your life. And God's going to use you to rescue women that want to like just end their life. Because the devil tried to tell you one time your life's not worth living. But now you know your life is, because Jesus paid for your life with the blood of Jesus. Let me see your hand for a second. Right? And so now you're going to go and you're going to rescue people out. And I see God bringing young people and young women into your life who want to end their life. But you're going to rescue them. You're going to rescue them. And I see God even using you to help women come to Christ. And there's some times where they're going to have nothing. And you're going to help to connect them with. You don't have a lot right now you feel like you can offer people, but you know people that can help them. And I see you getting women that they don't have a place to live, they don't have a place to go, and you're going to help them get connected with the help that they need, because in that way you're being God's helper. And he's using you already to help people. And the devil also uses, I heard these words coming through your mind, damaged goods, damaged goods, damaged goods, damaged goods. And it's a lie. It's a lie. You're one of God's choice daughters. You're the pick of the litter. Yeah? Awesome. You're awesome. Can I hug you?
Yeah.
You're awesome. God bless you. You're awesome. God bless you. Four kids. Awesome. Hi, April.
April. My name is April.
Hold on a second. It is on. Yeah. Okay, it's not on. Is that me? I don't think I did that, but maybe I did. Mode, mute. No, it's not mute. This is April. Here it is. It went back on.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
My partner was Pat, and she spoke to me that
she saw that I really wanted God's heart, and that I was the kind of person that when I decided to do something, that I just really go for it and go for it and go for it, go for it. And that can, she prayed that would inspire those people around me. And, that was really encouraging because I really do want God's heart. And he's let me feel that before. Like if I've been in a place and I felt his sorrow or I felt his joy over people. And even this morning, like I kind of saw him dancing with everybody. It was really cool. But I don't always feel like I go at it with enough. And so to know that he sees me that way was really awesome. And yeah. So.
That's awesome. And what were the exact words that your partner said to you? You go after things.
Yeah.
The kind of person
when
that goes
I
after
decide,
things.
I want
when, you,
to go after.
When you decide, yeah. And what I heard when you said that was that actually you go after things because you want to do them right. It's like you're a very precise person. And God's bringing you from a place of perfectionism that religion wanted to put on you, like you had to be perfect and do it exactly right. And that's actually held you back a little bit. But he's given you permission to screw up. That's what I heard him say. It's okay if you screw up because he's there. Just like Peter jumped out of the boat, he screwed up, but Jesus was there. And then he turned what looked like a screw up into like a miracle. And that's what he's going to do in your life. He's going to take you from, it's going to look like it's going to be a screw up situation, like, oh, it's a miracle. The other thing is that God's given you a great gift with children, a great teaching gift with children. And I see you, especially with like early childhood education type children, that God's going to give you a real gift. You always had that from the time you were young. You're able to kind of bring peace to children and like kids that would, but especially kids that are difficult for other people. God's going to give you a real love for special needs children, for children that other people would be afraid to touch. And he's given you a gift. And sometimes it's because of those really difficult cases that God brings to you. It's almost like, this is too much, God. This is too much, God. This is too much, God. But God's going to put you in those situations because you can handle it. Because he's called you to be that one that you don't have to make it perfect for them. You just have to love them. And you want to make it perfect for them, but you don't have to. There's also an intercultural calling on your life. There's a missions calling on your life. And I feel there were some things you stepped into that you stepped away from that you're like, you feel like, oh, I blew it. I missed God's timing and now it'll never come around again. You didn't. It was actually just practice. You were just practicing. Now there's another opportunity that's coming for you. And I hear like Spanish speaking people around you. And that's funny? Why is that funny?
Besides Spanish?
Yeah. Do you know Spanish?
No, I mean, I can understand a little because I've learned some French, but...
But you don't know Spanish?
No.
Wow. Dios te bendiga. That's Spanish. But I hear, I see God sending you to like a Spanish, speaking country, just short-term missions trip opportunity, especially dealing with children. That's going to be an awesome thing for you. Also, I feel like that there's like part of you that says, I'm overripe or something like that. I feel like I'm too old for this. I'm too old for this to happen. Yeah, I'm too old for that to happen. You're not too old. You're like right on time. You're right on time. You know, you're like you serve no wine before it's time. You're a mature wine. You're fermented and you're ready to go. You know what I'm saying? That you're not like you haven't missed something in your life. That you have like really high standards and that's good. God likes that about you. That you haven't settled for something less than God's best. And God wants you to know he's not going to give you less than his best in your life. And there's like a piece of the puzzle that God's about to put together. And I feel like there's like a key relationship that God's solidifying. It's like you're like one or two steps ahead of somebody else, but God's bringing them right in step with you. And you're going to walk step in step into the things of God, okay? So it's going to bless you and encourage you. Father, thank you for April right now. We bless her. We thank you, Father, for her heart, for your children, God, for those even that others would have a difficulty with it. She's going to have a grace for, God. And Lord, I thank you for grace, Lord, for other languages that she wants to learn. But God, I thank you that you even picked the language that she would thought least enjoyable for her, God, that you said you can even have that one too. Yeah. Anything but Spanish, God. Spanish too. All of it, God. I thank you. I bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, girl. She's awesome. Give her a hand. Man, that's cool. So all that from a simple exercise, it says, you're the kind of person that, right? You might say, well, that's too simple, or that's not very deep, or that's not very detailed. But I would say 90 to 95% of the prophetic words that I give or the encouraging words I give to people start with that. You're just the kind of person that is a helper to people. You're a giver. However God sees them. Why? Because they know who they are. They know how God
sees them. I was doing a class like this a few years ago in Salt Lake City, Utah, and we're taking our team out, and usually most of my testimonies, integrated in my testimonies, there's something to do with coffee in them. Even today, we were praying for someone, weren't we, Blair? I only know his name is Blair now, Elizabeth Blair. At least I'm not calling you Elizabeth. And so I pray for the lady, and she's like, "Are you a minister?" I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "And you pray when you're drinking coffee?" Because I had a coffee in my hand, and I'm praying for her. I guess for her, that was a weird thing. That's kind of normal for me. So coffee's not a drink. It's a lifestyle. So so anyway, I went out. We were just going to, just stir up the gift that was inside of us. So we went to Starbucks just to get the anointing stirred up in us. And we were in Salt Lake City, or actually Park City, Utah. And so I wanted the double portion anointing, so I got the double espresso. And I was just feeling it. I was just feeling anointed. On my way out, walking out, there's a couple young men that were just sitting in some chairs there. And I walked by them, and I stopped. I said, "Man, you guys, they were just kind of slouched down on their chairs, drinking coffee. They're probably late 20s, early 30s. They look tired." I said, "Man, you guys look really tired, man. What have you been up to today?" They're like, "Ah, you wouldn't believe it if we told you. It's weird." I said, "No, tell me, what have you guys been doing?" They said, "Well, it's strange. We just came from a video game contest. We were judges." I'm like, "Man, that must be exhausting. How do you guys do that work?" They're like, I said, "Man, that is kind of weird. But actually, I had two friends with me, and I said, my friends and I are doing something weirder than what you're doing." And I don't usually start off like this, but I thought it was a good opportunity. They're like, "Well, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, we are actually here at Starbucks giving people messages from God." And I actually said a little, "From God," because I really wanted them to get the message. And they looked at me kind of strange, and one guy folded his arm, and he was kind of analytical, and he's like, "Well, what does God want to tell me?" And I was thinking in my mind, "I don't know, but as soon as he tells me, I'll let you know, because I hope he speaks quick." Because I didn't have anything. I was just kind of just having a conversation with him. But as soon as I said that in my mind, like, "I don't know," something came into my heart. And I said, "Well, you're a leader. You're the type of person that you give leadership to other people. You have a managerial gift. And I see you, like, at a conference table, and I see you sitting, and I see all these creative people giving you all these creative ideas. And you taking their ideas, and you making them into a product. You can take them and make a synergy in their ideas so that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts." And he looked at his friend who was sitting with him. He said, "Does that sound like me?" He goes, "That sounds exactly like you." He said, "Yeah, that's pretty impressive. You were spot on. That's exactly how I am." And I thought, "Man, that was great. That was a good encounter. Now I can just tell him, that God knows him." But before I could get the next step out, God loves you. He cares for you. And that's why he wanted to tell you that. He said, "But I don't think you could really tell me what God has for my future." In fact, the words he said was, "I bet you can't tell me what God has for my future." And for just a moment, I thought about taking that bet, because I thought, I could make some money off of this. Is this a faith life? I mean, you just got to sometimes get the offerings when you can get them. So, and sometimes people that go to Starbucks are, "No, I'm not going to go there." Okay. So anyway, I said to him, "Well, as a matter of fact, God can tell you your future." And I was actually just stalling until God said something to me. But when I said those words, there was a picture that formed over his head. And it was two letters. And it was the letter E and the letter A. And I don't play a lot of video games, but I do play with my nephews John Madden football. Yeah. EA Sports. It's in the game. And I saw these two letters appear above his head. And I knew they were the logo for Electronic Arts, a video game company. And I heard the voice of the prophet, John Madden. He said, "EA Sports, it's in the game." I heard that in my head. And I saw these letters. And I said, "You guys are not just video game judges or testers, but you're video game producers. And right now, you've produced a video game and you're pitching it to Electronic Arts to sell it to them, and they're going to buy it." And my two friends standing on either side of me went like this. "We don't know him. We're not with him. Too much coffee." Is that the coffee talking or is that Jesus? Christ in me is the hope of glory. I don't know. The words came out of my mouth before I could even filter them out. It's not until, you know, they're like out there and I can't get them back. I'm like, oh boy, that was weird. And they looked at each other and they looked at me and they said, we were talking about that 5 minutes before you walked up to us. And I said, whew, Jesus, thank you. I mean, I just felt like I was through the ringer, man. And these girls, then the girls said, well, yeah, he's my friend. This is Bobby. We're with him. And I thought, man, this is the end of a great encounter because I felt something in my heart for him. I saw a picture, and you know, and it was right. And he said, you know, that's really interesting. He said, but why would God want you to tell me my future? No one's ever asked me that. I said, because if I tell you your future and it's really from God and it really happens, you'll know that you're walking in the purpose that God created you to walk. And you'll know why God put you on the earth, because God put you here on the earth for a purpose, to be in relationship with him through his son Jesus, and he put you in relationship with others. And so he created you for a purpose. And when that happens, you'll know it's the purpose you were created. And I thought, man, that's an awesome answer. I mean, I did. It was the Holy Spirit. I knew. It was like, man, I was just, because this is a whole learning experience for me right there. This is why I use this example a lot, because it's where I learned. That's how I learned. I learned by doing. I'm hands-on. I'm a kinesthetic learner. I can't just read something and say, ugh. That's why I have to visualize it. Even when I read my Bible, I have to visualize it. I can't memorize scriptures, chapter and verse. I have to know it's on the right side of the page, 3/4 of the way down. There it is. And I just changed my Bible a couple weeks ago. I had the same Bible for 20 years. It's fallen apart. Pages were missing. And I just changed them. I can't find a thing. So the Holy Spirit's teaching me in this whole experience. And he says to me, but you're telling me that God created me to make video games. What kind of purpose is that? And I'm thinking, oh man, this guy's tough. And I could see him as the enemy, or I could see him as a teacher. Because God's teaching me. The Holy Spirit is teaching me, because I'm stepping out of the boat. I'm stepping out beyond myself. I'm dying moment by moment, because I can't get out of this now. Because I have two students next to me, and I'm in the middle of this thing. What am I going to say? And the Lord spoke to me and said, he didn't just have one business, but he started one before, and he's going to start another one after this. And I said, you're not just a businessman, you're an entrepreneur. And you started a business before that didn't work out that great. This one's doing better, but your next one's even going to be better. And God created you as a business person so you could create jobs, so you could generate resources, because you're going to be a generous person, and you're going to bless people who have less resources. You're going to bless even foreign countries that don't have resources. You're going to be a giver. And he looked at me and said, man, you had me until you said that, because I'm one of the most selfish people that I know. That's not me at all. And I'm like, well, you know, I batting like 90% there. It's not bad. But his partner, his friend sitting there, who turned out to be the CFO of the company, looked at him and said, he's lying to you. Last week he gave a house to his sister. He's one of the most giving people I know. You see, he didn't even see himself the way that God saw him. And all that, through all that experience, God took me back, and I've gone through it many times, the process. You're the kind of person that, this is what God sees you, this is who you are. And then a picture opened up to me. And then I began to hear what God heard for him, what God knew about him. This is the way God's word speaks. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 21, and we're going to do another exercise, and we're going to finish with an activation for words of knowledge for healing. Because some people have asked me that, I've gone out, well, how do you know? How do you get a word of knowledge for healing? How do you know? Well, I'm going to show you how you can know. I'm going to show you how God can speak to you that way. Isaiah 21 is an awesome passage, because it gives us a picture into the way that revelation knowledge comes from heaven to earth. How you can see from God's perspective. How you can set your mind on things above. How you can set your mind not on things of this earth. How you can have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to feel. Isaiah 21, verse number 2. A dire vision has been shown to me. The traitor betrays and the looter takes loot. Elam attack, Media lays siege. I will bring to an end all the groaning she has caused. Verse 3, listen to this. At this my body is racked with pain. Pangs seize me like those of a woman in labor. I am staggered by what I hear. I am bewildered by what I see. This is a prophecy that Isaiah gives to these two cities or states, Media and Elam. And he's giving a specific prophetic word. It's not a very good word, and we're not concerned with the content of it. But this is a passage, verse number 3, that gives us a unique picture of anywhere in the Bible of how God actually speaks to the prophetic person, how he brings the revelation to you, how he speaks. And right here, we see it. Three things. At this, my body is racked with pain. Pangs seize me of those of a woman in labor. In the King James, it actually says, therefore, my loins are filled with pain. Pangs seize me like those of a woman in labor. I'm staggered by what I hear, and I'm bewildered by what I see. So there's three modes of communication that's happening here simultaneously. One is he sees something, right? So he sees a picture, he sees a vision, he sees something. That picture comes through your imagination, your redeemed imagination. So God can show you a picture. You might see, for instance, if God's showing you like a word of knowledge for healing, like Jesus saw a picture of Jesus sitting, of Nathanael sitting underneath the fig tree. That was a word of knowledge for something literally that took place. Well, God can show you a picture of something that's taking place in someone's body. Here's the way I'll just give you an insight. This is the way I get words of knowledge in a corporate meeting. Normally during the worship, I'll just quiet my heart before God. I'm worshiping him. I'll set my mind on things above. I'll say, God, just show me who you want to touch and heal in this room. He wants to touch and heal everyone, but I want to have points of contact for faith. And so I have a little paper. I'll divide the room into three sections, left, center, right. And I'll say, okay, God, who do you want to touch? And I'll visualize it in my imagination. I'll say, God, who do you want to touch in this left section? And I'll write what I see. And I'll usually picture people, a body part, or a body, human body, and a piece, a part of their body, a place in their body. And I'll write that down. And so then when I give words of knowledge, I'll say, there's someone over here and you have this, and there's someone over here, you have this. And that builds faith, because when God reveals it, we know he wants to heal it. And so you don't need a word of knowledge to bring healing, but it helps for you to have faith and for that person to have faith. And so you could actually see something. This was really cool. One of the first schools we did when we started Power and Love Schools was in Boston, in Framingham, Massachusetts. And people in New England are pretty skeptical, as a matter of fact. They're pretty cerebral. There was a group of people, it was about three quarters the size of this. And I asked when I first got up to teach this session on seeing God, seeing and hearing and feeling, how many people here have never been to anything that had to do with the spiritual gifts, healing, prophecy, anything like that? And out of the whole group, there's only one gentleman that raised his hand way in the back of the room. Put it up, put it down really fast. I'm like, sir, you don't have to worry about that. We're glad you're here. He had come from Vermont down to Boston, and he had never been in anything that had to do with anything spirit-filled or with the gifts of the Spirit in that way. And so we taught this, how to see from God. And he came back after that session with this story. He went to McDonald's for lunch. And my first response to that is, if you're going to go to McDonald's, you better have a healing gift. That's all there is to that. So he went to McDonald's for lunch. And as he was sitting, getting ready to eat his Big Mac, he went to bite into it, and he saw a TV screen open up in front of him. It was like in his imagination, a TV screen. And he saw what he described as a pain reliever commercial, where there would be like a three-dimensional green outline of a body. And it began to spin around in three dimensions, and he saw three red dots appear on its back. Boom, boom, boom. And he said that he just knew something in his heart told him it was for the guy sitting at the table next to him. So he asked him, he said, sir, do you have pain in your back right here, and right here, specifically? And the guy said, that's crazy. I'm about to have back surgery in 2 weeks. And the guy said, hey, can I pray for you? He's like, here, McDonald's? Yeah. Prays for a McDonald's, gets healed, comes back, tells us his story like it's normal. Like, you guys are all having this happen too, right? He doesn't know. Because he doesn't know this is hard. Because he doesn't have anything in his mind other than, he doesn't have anything, his natural mind that can't tell him anything other anything else. So we're like, please pray for us, you know? Because God could show you something, right? So he could show you a piece, a part of a body that he wants to heal. Second thing Isaiah says, or another thing Isaiah says, is he was staggered by what he hears. So he actually heard something. So you might hear a word, a sound, a name. You might hear a name. Don't question it. Just believe it's from God. Especially in an environment like this, you can practice freely. Because you're tuning your spiritual gifts. You know how when a child learns to talk, there's only certain words you can say at first. And we don't say, man, how come you can only say dada? No, man, we're like, you said dada! Everybody puts it on their Facebook page. They said dada. And nobody else cares but you. But you're excited because they said dada. And they say it for the next 2 weeks. And every time it's like, I'm going to record this. Dada, 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 dada. I believe that's exactly the way God feels when you first step out to speak for him. They said, Dada. Did you hear that, Gabriel? He said, Dada. Play it again. Dada, Dada, Dada. God's telling me, you're really nice. Did you hear that? They said, nice. Dada. God's not like up there, like, yeah, you can't hear anything. He's so excited about this. And so you might just hear like a word. God might give you like the name of a body part. It might drop in your heart. You walk into a subway. Who went to Subway? You did, right? What was it that you heard? Is it the wrist? Was that the wrist one? The back one. Before she could even think it, she just came out. You have a back problem. Well, how do you know? She didn't think about it. She just heard it and said it. Okay? And the third thing it says, therefore my loins are filled with pain. Pang sees me like those of a woman in labor. Amen. We're going to have a prayer line at the end of this session for that gift. Anybody like that one? Pain in your loins? Anybody? No takers? Some spiritual gifts you just don't want, right? So what he's saying is, I felt it. You got that one, Dave, huh? I hit you. Hit you right there in the loins, didn't it? You could actually feel something. God could touch you with what other people are feeling. I know a great teacher that teaches on healing and words of knowledge, and he tells a great story about this. He was in Brazil, I think, and he was getting up to teach people something, and he started to feel like he needed to use the restroom, like, really fast. Like, and it wasn't like, it was. You have to get the DVD for that one. And he thought, oh, Lord, I got to get off the stage. And the Lord said, no, it's a word of knowledge for healing. There's people here who have irritable bowel syndrome, and I want to heal them. And he's like, man, that better be you, God, or this is going to be a mess. Some gifts you just don't want, right? Pain in your loins. And a whole bunch of other places. So he called it out. He said, man, the Lord wants to heal somebody with irritable bowel. 10 people ran to the front, really. Squeezing their cheeks, I guess. I don't know. And it went away. They were healed. So be aware. You could even be having this happen to you. You could come to church and you feeling fine. And all of a sudden, man, I got this pain in my neck. Must be a spiritual attack. The pastor must not have prayed enough this week. No, it's a word of knowledge for healing.